plagued a potential nugget.
And talking about transitions, you transitioned from being a chief rating officer to the CEO of Crisil. Again, I'm curious about the CXO to CEO transition. From your journey, talk to us about what the transition was like. What shifted for you, and with the wisdom of hindsight, what insight do you have for people, especially for that CXO to CEO transition?
For me, Deepak, I think the bigger transition was the transition to the chief rating officer. Mm-hmm. And the chief rating officer is the business leader of the ratings business, which at that time was the largest business in Crisil. And that transition, for the first time, put me in charge of what was the most important business of the company at that point in time. But more importantly, it was challenging because I was chosen over my peers to do it, to do the job. And so how do you really move up to that level and then learn to work collaboratively and successfully with peers whom you have considered your equals for many years, right? I think so. That was, I think, a big learning for me. And I think in that transition, I learned a few things which were very different. Number one, I learned for the first time to manage multiple stakeholders beyond my client and beyond my team. It meant I needed to interact with the media, I needed to interact with regulators, I needed to interact with shareholders in Crisil, I needed to interact with the larger investor community who made investment decisions using Crisil ratings. So suddenly these new stakeholders came into my life and I had to figure out how to really deal with a lot of them at the same time. And that happened when I became the chief rating officer. The second big learning and growth for me when I moved was realizing that it's no longer about me. And, you know, I don't know what's the right word, whether it's humility or what it is, but, you know, this really is about everyone else except me. It's about the team. It's about the customers. It's about the markets at large. It's about shareholders who have reposed trust in the company and the brand and all of that. So I think that was the second big learning. And the third one was more tactical, but I think it was that shift which really taught me how to ruthlessly prioritize and manage my time. Mm-hmm. And I think these were the big step ups required for me at that point. The transition from chief rating officer to CEO was far smoother. I think it was unsaid, and it was generally, I think Ravi Mohan ran such a phenomenal organization. It was kind of clear to almost everyone, including to me, that I would be his successor. Mm. And so that didn't come. It was not that challenging. The thing that transition taught me was how to build and run global businesses. Because when I became the CEO, you know, I was also responsible for our global research and analytics business. Mm-hmm. And so working with the leading investment banks all over the world. So we set up research centers in China, in Poland, in Argentina. How do you deal with customers demanding investment banks who are in the US, for example, and Europe before the global financial crisis and then later after the global financial crisis? Were massive learnings.
So this is like a ratings business plus a KPO almost.
That is correct. And that grew.
It was like two businesses, right?
That later on grew to become even larger than the ratings business.
Oh, wow. But back to the point you mentioned, Rupa, the two things you mentioned, right? One is about dealing with peers and recalibrating that relationship. And second is about adjusting your pie chart of time. So talk to us about in a little more detail on how you manage these two. What's the lesson to be learned?
I think on the dealing with peers, it was a tricky one. It was you know, there was a big risk that people would leave the firm. And it was a risk that eventually panned out. And a lot of people ended up leaving, not immediately, but over time. I feel I handled it in two ways. Number one, I made sure I spoke to every one of my team members who were directly working with me every single day for the first 3 months. So every evening, there were eight or nine of them, I would call each one of them and have a chat with them. It could be anywhere from 5 minutes to 15 minutes, but I would do that and get their advice and talk about what I was doing and how I was thinking about it. But, you know, I think that enabled me to kind of keep the trust intact because, you know, there was a risk of, you know, that. So I think that made a difference. Secondly, I think I also kind of recognized that they were, like I said, very strong people and pretty much let them drive their agenda, knowing fully well that they would do a great job of it. And I focused on things that I believe that needed to be done in the business at that point in time. Number one, which had never been done before. Number one was talking to the investor community and increasing CRISIL's engagement with the investor community to increase the demand for CRISIL ratings was one. Number two, streamlining operations. I remember at that point in time, receivables were an issue and we needed to focus on how to do that. Number three was communication within the organization. You know, from a small company, suddenly we had grown very big. And, you know, there was an explosion of new employees in the company. So the whole aspect of replicating what was a culture in a small company to a big company took up a fair bit of my time. So I think a combination of greater communication, trust building with people who were my peers, empowering them to do what they were good at doing, and focusing on taking the business in a new direction and doing some of the things that needed to be done there, I think that's what helped me really, get through the first year or two.
Got it. And on the sort of the pie chart of time that you alluded to, are there any one or two key shifts in terms of what you were spending time on that fundamentally changed when you moved roles?
Right. So I think before I became either the chief rating officer, my time was spent essentially with my small group of customers and my team. That pretty much took up my time. It was and some business development. After, I think the pie chart shifted. So I would say about 25% of my time was spent with customers, new business development. About 20% in nurturing new products. I would spend a lot of time with the new product development teams and these new, because what tends to happen is the smaller businesses tend to get ignored. But if you really believe they are the businesses of the future, leadership needs to spend time. So I would spend a lot of time, almost as much time as I spent with customers. I would spend 15% of my time with the board and shareholders maybe. Another 15% in business reviews, another 15% in talent management. That was a big part of my time, figuring out who our key performers were, spending time with them, development, career planning for the team. And then the balance 10% would be doing other stuff, including, you know, media outreach and other forms of communication.
Got it.
Couple of thoughts here. First, I must mention that moving to a business head role or a general management role from a functional role is arguably the transition where the phrase coined by Marshall Goldsmith, "What got you here won't get you there," is most relevant. People often have to significantly shift a leadership style when they get here. Several leaders can somehow get away with a command and control kind of an approach, but this is where it often breaks down, where the power distance between your peers and you is much lower or often non-existent. Secondly, it was interesting to hear Rupa talk about over-communicating with her peers when she got promoted to the chief rating officer role. Most people find this dynamic awkward and challenging and often tend to avoid the issue, which leads to a funny dynamic. Thank you for listening. If you're new to the podcast and want to get a sense of the nature of the content that's covered here, you might want to go to YouTube and type Play to Potential Highlights from 2017. I've tried to capture the key takeaways from my various conversations last year with leaders across disciplines. If you want to listen offline, say during a car ride home or during airplane travel, you could also access the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Savan, and several other podcast apps. In fact, Google has recently launched an app for listening to podcasts on the Android platforms. If you went to playtopotential.com, you would also have the opportunity to listen to multiple voices curated by a topic. Playlist topics include Reinventing Self, which is about how people change trajectories significantly in their careers, Early Formative Years, where leaders talk about how their childhood has influenced them profoundly, Insight on Career Paths, which is about various professionals talking about the ups and downs of their career and how individuals should think about embarking on that path. If you find the content purposeful, please go to iTunes, rate the show, and share a review. It will help others discover it. Thank you for listening.